François Boyce, die Maisie van Vreizenberg. Wel, ons het nou die Maisie van die Heart and Stroke Foundation, Corrie Erasmus, who's one of the dietitians at the Heart and Stroke Foundation, talking to us this morning. And today we're doing a myth busting. It's always fun to do myth busting, and we can do it now with the Heart and Stroke Foundation, talking about busting myths related to heart disease. Corrie, good morning on this rather chilly morning.
Baie dankie, Wayne. No, it's lovely to be here. It is quite chilly. But it's great to be here for this fun myth-busting session.
Yeah, and you know, you see this series on TV where these guys do all kinds of crazy things trying to bust myths, but we won't do anything crazy. But let's look at some of the questions. The first one about heart disease is, can you ever be too young to be worried about heart disease?
So definitely not. We tend to think that, you know, heart disease and strokes is something that you worry about as you get older, or it's something that we only see in older people, but we are seeing more and more young people lose their lives to heart disease and also especially strokes. So we're seeing lots and lots and more young people experience strokes, you know, during your childhood and your adolescent period. That's already when plague can start building up in the arteries if you don't look after yourself. And then we're seeing many, many more rates of obesity and type 2 diabetes in younger children and young and middle-aged people. So we are definitely seeing more heart problems and brain problems like stroke in our younger population.
Wow, and that's actually, if you think about it, that's actually quite scary. And looking at family links, if heart disease runs in your family, is it true that there's nothing that you can do to prevent you from developing it?
There is definitely research that shows that if you have a family history, this does definitely increase your risk for heart disease. If someone in your family has blood pressure, you are at a higher risk to have high blood pressure as well. But there are many behavior modifications that you can start implementing from a young age to prevent you from getting, for example, heart disease or high blood pressure. So it's not 100% guarantee that you will develop it. There are definitely things that you can do, such as starting to eat better, making sure you're physically active, not partaking in the other risk factors like smoking and alcohol. So no, it's definitely not a guarantee, and you definitely have the power to prevent these types of conditions, even if someone in your family has them.
Right. So it would be a case of being aware and prevention being better than cure.
Yes, definitely. Start being proactive from a younger age or as soon as you are aware, so that you can prevent the progression of your health to, for example, high blood pressure.
And then talking about heart attacks, if you've suffered from a heart attack, should you avoid exercising?
So it can definitely be a scary thing to start exercising after having some kind of cardiac event or a heart attack. But you should, in fact, move and get some exercise. Research shows that heart attack survivors who are more regularly physically active and make other heart healthy changes actually live longer than those who don't. So people with chronic conditions, moderate physical activity is so beneficial for them, and it is safe. So it's very important. Of course, you consult with your healthcare professional directly after your heart attack, but in general, developing a physical activity plan is so good for you and is definitely beneficial and will make you live longer.
And obviously within the constraints of what your condition is, you know, don't sort of go out and run a marathon. Maybe a walk around the block would be what you need.
Definitely, no, 100%. People underestimate how beneficial a simple walk can be for your health.
Right. And then, Corrie, we talk about eggs. Should you be avoiding eggs if you are at risk of heart disease?
So the major concern about eggs has always been whether they contain too much cholesterol and whether that cholesterol translates to high cholesterol levels in the body. But actually what we see is the cholesterol in our body. So we have good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. And people were always afraid that because eggs are slightly higher in cholesterol, that will increase the bad cholesterol in your body. And that's why if you are someone that is at risk of heart disease, you don't want that extra cholesterol. But we actually see that cholesterol in foods does not translate to cholesterol in the body. It's saturated fat in foods that cause the higher bad cholesterol in the body. So eggs, they have a little bit of cholesterol, but they have lots of healthy nutrients like vitamin A and D and protein, of course. Lots of the long-term population studies show that eating an egg a day hasn't been linked to any higher rates of heart attack or stroke.
Okay.
So, yes, people can definitely enjoy eggs as part of a healthy diet.
And once again, I would say in the correct quantities, you know, don't just go out and consume lots and lots of eggs.
Yes, that's the key with everything. It's everything within a healthy, balanced diet.
Right. Now, coconut oil. Is coconut oil a healthy superfood?
So we often hear this. People often opt for coconut oil because of claims that it is a healthy superfood. But what lots of people don't know is that coconut oil is actually 92% saturated fat. Mm-hmm. And remember, saturated fats is what we said actually does translate to high bad cholesterol in the body. So it does not make this a healthy superfood. So coconut oil can raise your bad cholesterol. So for oils, the key is your healthy plant oils, your canola oil, your sunflower oil, your olive oil.
And then talking salt, you know, we've heard about pink Himalayan salt being the healthy alternative. The question is it or is salt salt, no matter where in the world it comes from?
Yes, this is such a great question. It's so common to hear people recommending to their friends to opt for your pink Himalayan salt or your natural sea salt. But just as you said, majority of the salt contains the same amount of sodium, and sodium is really the mineral that can have poor health outcomes if consumed excessively. So it can raise your blood pressure. We see a very big link between salt intake and blood pressure. So no matter pink Himalayan salt, normal table salt, the key is still to stay below the recommendation of 5 gram a day, which is about a teaspoon of salt.
Okay. And I suppose, you know, at the end of the day, salt is a chemical compound. So, you know, you don't get different types of salt chemically. It probably works out to pretty much be the same.
Yes. So salt is a combination of sodium and chloride. And then with your natural salts, they do have some other minerals, but they are in such small quantities that they don't make a significant dietary contribution.
Okay. And then reduced fat milk, is it actually any healthier than your full cream and any other variants of milk that are available?
Yes, so this is actually a tricky one, because when you look at the evidence, some studies show that low-fat milk is better, while other studies say there's not really much difference. But the fact is that the fat in dairy can raise cholesterol, because remember, again, it's saturated fat. So obviously a reduced fat milk would have less saturated fat. So for most healthy people, if you don't have any chronic conditions, it would not make a huge difference. But if you have an existing heart disease, or you have high LDL cholesterol, or you just don't want to take the risk to increase your bad cholesterol, it is best to choose your reduced fat malt products.
Well, that makes sense. You know, it's if some of the fat has already been reduced, then it would, I guess, make it just a little bit healthier. But once again, you know, don't go overboard with fat-free milk, because that would end up being counterproductive.
Yes, so that's the key to a healthy diet that supports your heart, your brain. It's not about a single food, but about the combinations of food and how you eat them over days and weeks.
Right. And in, you know, in the correct quantities. And then, Kari, if somebody wants more information, the Heart and Stroke Foundation has a lot of resource material available. How do they go about getting in touch?
Yes, definitely. So we have recipe books, we have healthy eating guides, we have just information on heart health, on what to look for when you're looking at your cholesterol levels, blood pressure, what your blood sugar level should be. So we have lots of health information and healthy eating information on our website, which is www.heartfoundation.co.za. And then we also have a health chat line if listeners might want to reach out to a dietitian or a health promotion officer. So that's at 021-422-1586.
Great. Kari, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next week, Tuesday.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week.
Cheerio then. That's Kari Erasmus from the Heart and Stroke Foundation, one of the registered dietitians, chatting to us today about myths around health foods and different diets and different foods.